I'm still not ready.
You're going to be ready.
I'm ready. All right. All right. Let me adjust my glasses. All right. We're going to do this. Okay. All right.
You have to adjust your glasses to talk good.
Yeah, I do have to adjust my.
I understand. So when they're too smudgy, sometimes you feel like that you now you can't see clearly to see your own thoughts.
Right. I can't see my face as I like try and form a sentence is really what it is I'm looking at myself going, oh, she looks like she knows something. And then I'm like, and it helps motivate me to say smart things is really what that is.
Okay.
It totally works.
Well, I'm glad your glasses are ready. Yep. Hello, everyone. Welcome to an episode of Two Nerdy Birds with Ren and Jade, where we are a pop culture and gaming podcast. And we want to talk about today the Emmys and understanding that we are still in the midst of the Writers Guild of America strike. And that the SAG-AFTRA strike just kicked off. And while we agree and support this, especially as our show continues to not be written, so that is our solidarity with the Writers Guild. But in all seriousness, the causes that are underlying these, especially with the SAG strike, one of them being the usage of AI to generate content, using actors' faces. And when we think about actors, I know a lot of us probably think about, especially as we talk about the Emmys, we think about like the actors making millions and millions of dollars per movie, but there's a lot of regular people actors as well, working actors. And that is where the Screen Actors Guild comes in and fights for their rights. And so as it may be a while before we have the opportunity to enjoy a lot of new content, let's take a trip in the past of 2022, which is the Emmys of 2023, and talk about all the stuff that we loved or loved to hate or just hated. That are nominees.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I agree. This is us in solidarity, reflecting on the shows and the actors who bring us these stories. We live for these stories. We live for a lot of these shows and these characters. I definitely would not be the complete nerd that I am today if it wasn't for the stories that I've immersed myself in over the course of my life, you know, for the last for the last four or some years, you know.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I didn't say anything. But you know, it's, you know, the last time we had a writer's strike, it was however long ago, and it made an impact. I mean, it really did. Seasons were shortened, things like that, and it was worth it because these people put their heart and souls into this craft, right? They put their heart and souls into writing these stories. They spend countless hours creating these characters that we know and love and empathize with and sympathize and totally hate and totally love. And we have, I got posters of them on my wall of the characters I absolutely adore. And they need to be properly compensated for the work that they put in. And it's not about the millionaires that make millions of dollars per movie. Part of it is, but really what we're looking at are those working actors and those working writers who day in, day out. I mean, it's still a gig job. It's a gig economy there. Like, you either get a job writing something or you don't. You either get a gig acting or you don't. And it'll make or break you if you don't get enough acting jobs. And it will break you if you don't get enough writer's jobs. And
absolutely,
they do you know, some of them do live paycheck to paycheck, and, you know, we don't know how much they get paid, but they still need to live and they still need to be compensated, while executives and all that stuff make bank on the shows that are on their streaming services or are in the theaters. They still make their millions regardless of what these writers and these actors get paid. And that's why, you know, you support the union rights, you support their rights for being compensated fairly.
You know, I was thinking as I was editing our last episode, and we brought up towards the end of that episode what we were currently watching and what we were waiting for, and we expressed our dismay at not having heard anything about season two of Our Flag Means Death, right, which is a show that we talked about at length in this podcast, and it occurred to me while I was editing that, oh, the writer's strike is ongoing. I wonder if that's what's going on with Our Flag Means Death. And then I felt a little silly for not remembering that was going on, you know, because we don't have like, you and I don't live in the 24-hour news cycle.
Right.
You know, not having cable television and things like that, that it is a little easier to be removed from that current event, because with so many streaming services available to so many people, you just kind of lose yourself in these vast libraries and then wonder like, oh, what happened to my show? You know? Right. And so I'm glad that we can do this while celebrating these shows, but also like as a reminder to other people who maybe are in a similar situation as us, but then also listen to our show to be like, oh yeah, there's a strike, you know? Mm-hmm. And for them to think about what they want and how they choose the content that they consume and going forward as well.
Yeah. It's true.
So with all that being said, let's take a moment to celebrate what we've had and talk about the Emmy nominations. Can I just say, okay, when I was looking at the list of the, you know, best series this, best series that.
Right.
I laughed at, I want to bring special attention to the category for, where is it? Oh, okay. Best variety special parentheses live end parentheses. This included the Apple Music Super Bowl halftime show starring Rihanna, Chris Rock Selective Outrage Netflix, Elton John Live Farewell from Dodger Stadium, the Oscars, and the 75th Annual Tony Awards. And I did not realize that other industry award shows could be nominated for awards.
Right? That I will,
like all the other stuff I get, but like the Oscars and the Tony Awards, it never occurred to me that there would be like this like circle jerk self-congratulatory, you know, kind of patting on the back of like, oh, good job, Oscars, you won an Emmy this year. And now like I'm curious, how many Emmys has the Oscars won?
That is actually a really good question. I would also like to know how many Super Bowl halftime shows have won an Emmy, and when did they start doing that? Personally, I think that is a really weird category to exist, but I get it, kind of. It's just really weird.
Yeah, I mean, because it is a special produced televised event, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of time and effort went into it, and you know, I get it. It's just so interesting to me, I guess is better word than weird, because I don't know how long that particular category has been in existence. Like, that feels like one of those, like, you know, it's moving with the times, right? It's the Emmys are evolving with the people. Eventually, we're going to have best YouTube special.
Probably.
Yeah.
Best. I mean, yeah. Twitch has their own streaming show.
Yeah.
You know, their own awards show.
Yeah.
Okay. So it turns out I did a quick Google.
Oh.
Now. And according to goldderby.com, the to date, the Oscars have amassed 54 wins, 54 Emmys from 280 nominations.
Goodness gracious.
And it ranges not just from like best live variety show.
Right.
But also, because when I think of live variety show, I think of like live sketch shows and
yeah,
stuff like that.
For
right?
sure. Yeah, that would be my first thought too.
Yeah. So apparently they've won everything from like best live variety special to also like technical Emmys.
Sure.
Which I don't know. It's a weird one. And I think that's all I want to say about that category. But
yeah,
that's a weird one to me.
Yeah, it is pretty. Some of these categories are really interesting. And then you see the nominations. You're like, oh, okay, that's also equally interesting. Like best game show. You never really think about that when you're watching the game shows, but. Or
oh, yeah,
best game show, best host for a game show. Because you always think it's like the dramas and the comedies and all of that stuff. But it never dawns on me that it's like, oh, yeah, I guess game shows are very much a produced thing. So, yeah, that's very interesting to me, some of these categories. But I, of course, want to talk about Star Wars Andor.
Okay,
we could talk about anything else. My whole thing about the Emmys this year was just the fact that we had some really good shows nominated for like drama awards and acting.
I'm disappointed Our Flag Means Death is not nominated.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like that will always bother me. I also have a couple of other things that bother me. But yeah, nothing, no love at all for that show, which is a bummer. But
so you want to talk about Andor. Andor has been nominated for the best drama series.
Right.
And best writing for a drama series written by Bo Willimon.
Yep.
Best directing for a drama series directed by Benjamin Caron. And so Andor happens to be the one that I have not finished still.
Oh, such a good show. But one of the things that upsets me the most is best writing, awesome. It is wonderfully written. Best, and you said best drama. I'm trying to look through all of these categories.
Yeah, best drama series.
It is amazing.
And best direction.
It is an amazing show. It does, I mean, of course it's set in the Star Wars universe, but it doesn't, and we've talked about Andor before where I've said that it doesn't really feel like a Star Wars. It doesn't feel like a Star Wars. It feels more like a political drama set in like, you know, in Star Wars. It's really one of those themes that you never really see as deep as this one goes, where just all of the intrigue and all of the planning and all of the, you know, you see all of the people affected by the Empire and you see them, their struggle, and it just gives you a completely different look into the lives of the people who live under the heel of the Empire, and it's amazing.
You know, that's why Andor, it interests me, but I think I was also burned out a little bit.
Sure.
On Star Wars and just kind of Disney Plus properties in general at that time. But Andor is interesting because it is more like a story that would be only on the page.
right?
That it's that world building kind of story, and it's nice to see Disney and Star Wars, like, actually, it's funny to say, like, take a gamble, because it's not like it's an unknown character to us, but it is not like one of the original characters.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And for them to take that and like fully develop a property is interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah, they did take a gamble on it, because it's not Obi-Wan, you know, it's not Ahsoka. It's not like all of these like fully developed characters that we have seen in multiple Star Wars shows and books and media and things like that. It is the one guy you saw in that one movie doing the one thing. Like, it's just him. And what bums me out completely is the fact that he was not nominated for an Emmy. Like, Diego Luna is amazing in Andor, and the fact that he didn't get any love at all for his portrayal was just, it hurts my brain that they would just not give him at least a nomination. That's one of the few things that make me angry.
Well, especially because like Succession has three actors nominated. And then even there is an actress nominated for Best Actress in a Drama Series from Succession. So Succession actually has four acting credits for in a drama series. I guess
it must be a real good show to be taking in all of those things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Diego Luna is amazing. I absolutely fell in love with that character. He brought so much to creating Cassian in a way that you do not see in the movie. To just take this character and make it his own is just so impressive. And the fact that they just were like, nah, that's cool. Anger.
Was Diego Luna better than Pedro Pascal, though? In The Last of Us.
I didn't see The Last of Us.
Oh, man. I can't believe we're having this conversation. It is one of the strongest shows that I've watched.
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
Especially to take a video game property and expand on it the way that they did. And the way that Pedro Pascal fully embodied Joel, who... And made it his own, because Joel is a different person in the game, is incredible. So I can see how that maybe was a tough choice.
Right. For them. No, I mean, yeah. I mean, either way, like, I am not surprised that Pedro Pascal got a nomination, because of the clips that I've seen and things like that. I mean, I've been spoiled on the show.
Oh, no.
And it's fine. But in every clip I've seen, like, he is amazing. Like, he is amazing. And so his is obviously well-deserved. I'm sure all of the other nominations, too. But, you know,
they could. Yeah, I guess.
they
left off Diego Luna.
Leave out Diego Luna. They could have added him in. They could have had seven people. I mean, you're already going to have eight nominations for Best Drama. You can add in another person that deserves it. Like, I don't know if they're just like, oh, we can only do six, but it's ridiculous to me. I feel like you could just make an exception this year and just add Diego Luna to your gosh darn list. That's all. Just add him.
With Andor, which a lot of people do talk about, like, how strong it is. I even though I haven't finished it, I guess I can see, based on how it's going, it being nominated.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about
Obi-Wan being nominated.
I honestly don't know how I feel about that one.
That is nominated for Best Limited or Anthology Series. You know, we never really talked about it, by the way.
We didn't talk about it. So Obi-Wan...
And mostly because I kind of shit on it. Like, yeah. When you, I think when we were talking about what, like, we were planning a show. Right. And it was like, Obi-Wan's out. And I was like, there is nothing to talk about.
Oh, my God. So Obi-Wan was good. I love Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan is my number one favorite Star Wars character. I love Ewan McGregor. I love what he's done with that character. I love everything about it. I don't feel like Obi-Wan was that strong of a show to be Emmy.
It's okay, Ren. You can say that you don't like things. It's okay.
This has been a journey.
I feel like the whole Two Nerdy Birds has been like a therapy, encouraging you that it's okay to say out loud that something wasn't good, that you did not like a thing. Now is your moment.
Now is my moment. Okay, so I did like Obi-Wan. I did like it. Andor is still my favorite Star Wars show out of all of the new shows that have come out.
More than Mando.
Yeah, no, yeah. Okay. Andor more than The Mandalorian for sure. What sticks with me about Obi-Wan is the ending, of course. The showdown between Vader and Obi-Wan was beautiful. That whole sequence made the whole show worthwhile. But that was a slow burn to get to that point. Ewan McGregor was fantastic. But I feel like there might have been stronger shows that could have been nominated for Best Limited Series.
I feel like these are very strong words for you.
They are. I'm in a weird place. So I saw the show Transatlantic because I'm on a kick. When I start liking an actor, I make it a point to like watch all of their things. I did it with Adam Driver, and I watched all of his shows after Rise of Skywalker. And so right now, my actor kick right now is Corey Michael Smith, who is the Riddler on Gotham. So his new show is Transatlantic. And so I watched that show because now I'm going down the list of this guy's shows, which is cool. It gives me something to watch and something to focus on. I feel like that show could have been and should have been in the discussion.
That only came out this year, by the way.
Right, but I think the cutoff is like May 31st for the Emmys, and this show came out in April. Yeah. So Transatlantic came out in April. I think the cutoff for Emmys is May 31st. That was a good show. And that leads me to my second thing that I absolutely bothered me was the fact that Corey Michael Smith wasn't nominated for an Emmy because he was fantastic. And I'm not just saying that because I love the Riddler and I'm totally biased. He is a very good actor. So I hope eventually he gets some recognition for his work because he is a phenomenal actor. But anyway, that's my second thing that got me upset. If you guys haven't seen Transatlantic, try it out. It's very interesting. It's a period piece set in the 40s in France during the Nazi occupation. And they're trying to smuggle refugees out of Europe to America. And so
that's neat. Okay.
Yeah. So he is an American working with other Americans trying to get these refugees. Most of them are Jewish, of Jewish descent, things like that. They're trying to get them out of Europe and on ships to go to America to escape the Nazis.
Oh, it's the fall of France. I see.
Yeah.
It comes under occupation. Okay.
Right. Okay. So it's a good show and he's awesome. And I feel like that could have been a contender. If you're going to nominate Obi-Wan for Best Limited Series, I feel like broaden it a little bit, because there was only 5 nominations there. I feel like you could have found some other ones in there to put them in.
Yeah, what determines like a limit on nominations?
Yeah, because they're kind of all over the place with their
numbers. Yeah, there's some that are like 5 and 7 and 6, and it just doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason for it.
Yeah, they're just like, whatever. 5 feels good for this, I guess. And it's not like it's one per streaming service or whatever. It's just, they just put whatever, I guess. But I will say that Daniel Radcliffe getting the nomination for Best Actor in a Limited Series for playing Weird Al is totally rad.
Did you finally watch the movie?
I didn't, but it's awesome that he got nominated.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm surprised. I know it came out in a previous episode, right, that it turns out you're a huge Weird Al fan, like grew up with it and it's your jam. And I'm surprised that the movie still has not made its way into your list.
It's true. Though I will say my husband is the bigger fan than me. So okay. I am a fan a little bit by proxy, I guess. But my daughter loves Cheese Sandwich from My Little Pony, who is voiced by Weird Al. So, you know, definitely plays a major part in this household. The soundtrack almost, if you will. Yeah, I'll get to it eventually. As soon as I'm finished watching Gotham for like the second time.
Yeah, come on now. You've already watched Gotham. It's time for Weird Al.
I know. I can't move on. I just rewatched the show again from start to finish. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll just skip some episodes. I don't have to watch them all. Wrong. I do, in fact, have to watch them all for reasons. But that's another discussion for later in the show, because we're still talking about.
What was the most surprising nomination to you, good or bad?
I don't know if I have one, because I feel like all of these nominations, I'm not surprised by most of them. It's the same shows and the same people for the most part. I feel like I should walk Succession for some reason, because they got like so many multiple nominations in like single categories.
I think this was also the year of the series finale for Succession. Which is,
so that makes sense, because of course that's when you Emmys being completely predictable. Every time it's the last season of something is when they just nominate as many people as possible. It was the same thing for Ted Lasso, which is what I was actually really excited about, is having a lot of the actors from Ted Lasso being nominated for the comedy category. So that was dope. But I feel like that's such an Emmys thing to do.
The Succession just ended in May.
Yeah. So that makes sense that they would have three nominations for Best Directing out of the 7 that are there. So it's just, you know, that makes absolute sense to me. Or like the Dahmer movie. Apparently
I didn't watch that.
You know, I'm good. Like I've
me
watched
too.
You know, I mean, I love Evan Peters, and I'm glad he's finally getting some love and recognition for his work. I'm good though with Dahmer. I don't think we need to know his story anymore. I think we good on him. But yeah, I wasn't really surprised, because again, it's all of the same kind of stuff kind of over and over again. It's the same people, like the talk show guys. It's always the same. It's the same guys.
Well, it's only the same talk shows.
But if you also consider like daytime talk shows, you never really see any of those nominated, because just saying, most of the daytime talk shows are women hosts. Just saying. But, you know, It's just interesting to me. That's all. But yeah, like, you know, Abbott Elementary getting a bunch of nods, which is fine because I love that show as well. But yeah, like Saturday Night Live getting nominations, Ted Lasso getting nominations, Last of Us getting nominations. I mean, The Last of Us got like 4 nominations under Best Guest Actor in a Drama Series out of the 6 that were there. So, competing with Succession, of course. So,
yes.
as you do. None of them surprised me. I really hope the host from Queer Eye get the best host for a reality or competition because I love those guys. They make me feel so good about myself. So, but yeah, I don't know. What did you, were you surprised? I mean, I already talked about like the 3 things I was upset about. I could keep going.
For me, it's still feeling like there's not a lot of diversity in the nominations. Like you're saying, like we're seeing a lot of the same shows and similar names, and especially in this case, like we have a lot of the same shows across multiple categories. And I think, you know, I do try to think about like, okay, well, there's not as much diversity just because of the percentage of diversity that's like represented on screen,
right?
But like this year with Pedro Pascal's nomination, he's the first Latin American nominee since like the 90s.
Jesus.
for best actor. And I know like Ali Wong's show, and I think she did get nominated, but I think she's like the only Asian, and it's the first Asian American show nominated. And it's just, it's stuff like that that I'm just, that I still notice that I'm like, okay. You know? And again, I don't watch a show just because, you know, of like the diversity of the cast. It doesn't like turn me on or off of a show, and maybe it should. I'm really there for the strength of the overall cast, regardless. But it still is kind of one of those things when I see it put out in a list like this, that I think, oh, it's still a lot of the same stories that were being told.
Yeah.
That was my surprise, and I don't know why it was a surprise.
I'm not surprised. I just feel like they latch on to like their favorite shows and then they just keep that going until the show ends. Like the fact, what was I just looking at with these nominations? Like the guest, best supporting actor in a drama series. The nominations are just from 2 shows, The White Lotus and Succession.
Yeah.
And it's like 4 a piece or something like that. And it's like, I'm pretty sure there were other drama series, but I guess they were the best, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean the best lead in a drama series, best actress lead in a drama series has 6 nominees and they're from 6 different shows.
Yeah.
You know? But then for supporting actor, it's 2 shows. Like
yeah.
You said.
Yeah.
So,
it's,
I don't know.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird, but it's also not surprising. I feel like that's just an Emmys thing to do, is that they just keep doing that. I always know, like, if a show is ending, I always know that they're going to get like all the nominations. That's just, and the Oscars do it too.
Yeah.
You know, the Oscars do that too. If it's the last movie, like when it was like the Lord of the Rings, like the Return of the King, like took home everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Two Towers was the stronger movie, but heaven forbid they give awards to the second movie in a trilogy.
That's true.
So I feel like that's just like a thing they do. They just wait until the last year.
I have a question that I want to ask because I think it's something that we've talked about when we talk about like the video game awards.
And it's kind of related to a little bit like our last show talking about industry events. And in that particular case, it was in the gaming space. Mm-hmm. Are Emmys important? Do they influence what you watch? Do they influence what you consume? When you know something won an Emmy or an Oscar or whatever, or is nominated, does it change your viewing habit?
Not even a little bit, really.
And does it change like your perception of the creators involved, actors and everything? Like, do you care?
I only care if it's the ones that I like.
Or the ones that you like getting snubbed. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm just going to be annoyed. On behalf of Corey Michael Smith, I am annoyed for you, sir. You deserve all the awards. You will never listen to this podcast, but let this just be thrown out there. I'm annoyed for you. Yeah. I don't know. I feel there's just so much like favoritism, I think, in a lot of these things. And I have never been a fan of favoritism in any situation. You know, as I said, they latch onto their favorites and then they just keep throwing nominations at them. And I assume they're deserving, but at the same time, I feel like that shadows a lot of the good content that is being put out there. And just like the Game Awards, where it's love for a lot of AAAs, it's the indie endeavors that get kind of shoved off to the side. I mean, these were not the only shows in existence. There were other shows that came out this year. They may not have had the budget of Obi-Wan or whatever, but I'm sure there was a lot of strong shows that came out that were completely overlooked. Because it wasn't an HBO Max show, or because it wasn't, you know, a Netflix or a Disney Plus show. I feel like a lot of these nominations, I mean, it's good to shine a light on the work that people do. I don't mind award shows. I feel like people should get accolades for the work that they do. And they should get, I feel like everyone should get accolades for the work that they do. Jade, you should get an award for the work that you do. I feel like that.
Thanks, Ren.
You're welcome.
You should get accolades. I am giving you an accolade right now.
Ren,
you do amazing things day in and day out, online and offline. And I want to give you an award for the most outstanding co-host and co-creator of a podcast.
So I was going to give you the same award. Look at us being nominated in the same category. And
Oh, no. Who will win?
Oh, who will win? It's the battle.
You know what? It's going to be a tie.
It's going to be a tie.
Open up the envelope, and it's going to have both our names.
It's going to have both our names. That's right. That's how it goes. In my eyes, everyone's a winner. But yeah, I don't mind award shows. I feel like there's maybe a little bit too much pomp and a little bit too much, but it's fine. I feel like sometimes they get it right. Most times they get it wrong in my eyes. Yeah, but it doesn't affect what I watch, because I'm going to watch what I'm going to watch. Like, I was going to watch Obi-Wan regardless of its Emmy nominations. I was going to watch Ted Lasso regardless of their Emmy nominations. I feel like sometimes awards can be good because it shines a light on real talent that's out there.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't know the real name. You know, you wouldn't know Brett Goldstein if he hadn't won an Emmy for Ted Lasso, even though that guy has been working for years and years and years. And, you know, he landed Ted Lasso and everyone realized what a phenomenal writer and actor he is once he got that award. Like, he's Hercules in the MCU mm-hmm. You know, it's cool stuff like that. You love to see it. But yeah, it still doesn't affect what I watch. How about you?
It makes me curious. So sometimes I will I'll give a look to something that I previously passed over. Then I'm like, dang, I guess, you know, it's got 6 nominations. I must have misunderstood or missed something, right?
Right.
So sometimes I will change that. Oscar nominated movies, that's something that I do watch for a long time, actually. Not a long time, but I was in theater at one point. And I have done theater and I have done short films. And so I'm always interested in that, just purely from like the caliber of storytelling and production that goes into them. Emmy nominations mean a little bit less to me, because like a show, that's a long investment,
right,
for me to say like, okay, this show won 12 Emmys, I guess I'm gonna sit down and watch it. Oh my god, it's 8 seasons, you know. Like, and so that influences me less. But I think it also irritates me, like you said, of what got snubbed that you loved. And then I'm like, well, dang, how come nobody else is talking about that? Like, I've mentioned to you that I watched Love and Death a couple months ago. And according to your estimation of the Emmy cutoff, Love and Death should have received an Emmy, in my opinion, either for best limited anthology or for lead actor and actress, or even in the supporting cast. Like Elizabeth Olsen as lead in that was phenomenal. And for it to be a serious work for her, you know, and also not a movie, and for her to be completely overlooked in that just is mind-boggling. And that's when I'm like, the Emmys are dumb, you know. Right. And it's like, okay, but The Last of Us is on the Emmys list, and so they're slightly less dumb, but then people are never gonna watch Love and Death. And then I get mad because I think about when you have really strong, interesting storytelling, and I'm also a big fan of like limited series.
Right.
Because I'm in it for like the 8 episodes and then it's done. They've told their story. You know, it's a really long movie is how I look at it.
Right.
And so I think that I get frustrated when stuff like that gets overlooked or casting gets overlooked, because in this era of streaming, when shows are cut, you know, they're not renewed so frequently.
Right.
And it's like, oh my God, you were telling an incredible story and you dared to do things that were different. And now we're all going to end up with the same sanitized content, you know? And so now there's no more new and interesting stories and ideas being put forward, and you're not necessarily challenging the creators with this content. And so it's just like, all right, well, this show is just like the last 10 shows that came out this year, you know what I mean?
Right.
And by the way, I guess when I think about it, that was a big surprise for me to see the list. When you're like, what are your biggest surprises? Like, that was a big surprise to realize that Love and Death was not nominated for a single thing.
Right. Well, now I've
kind of... And it is a big property. It's an HBO Max property.
But... Yep. Our flag means death, too. It's crazy.
That is mind-boggling.
Right?
It really, really is. But because it was limited audience reception.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It didn't start picking up an audience until after it was done. And by then they were just like, eh.
Yeah.
Eh. But it's interesting. Like right now I'm looking at the Hollywood Critics Association nominations that came out like 3 days before the Emmys.
Okay.
And I feel like, and that list is completely filled with a bunch of different things. And I feel, and it's interesting to me how different award shows view
what they value.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What they value. Because you look at that list, and you've got things like Star Trek Picard on there for like...
Okay, but should it be?
I agreed with it. So I... Okay. Like the last... So it only lasted 3 seasons. The 3rd season was amazing. The 3rd season was fantastic. And I'm really glad that the 3rd season exists. But then you get, you know, you get people that would have never been nominated for anything are getting nominated for this Hollywood Critics Association, which is dope. But it's interesting, as you know, as we said, of the value, because you do see a bunch of different, you know, you do see a little bit more of a diverse crowd in this. You do see
White House Plumbers is on the critics list.
Yeah, right. And that's just you just see a bunch of, you know, best streaming drama series, and you see Andor on there, sure, but you also see The Crown, The Handmaid's Tale, The Mandalorian, Star Trek Picard, you see The Boys. Like, it's just different. It's just a different set of things. And you see, like, Anthony.
I think The Boys is too gritty for the Emmys, by the way.
Right, which is a shame, because The Boys is fantastic.
Like, what clip do you put together, right, for the live broadcast of the Emmys, or pre-recorded, you know, recorded with delay, of the Emmys? What clip montage do you put together to show The Boys when you are reading out these nominees?
I mean, it's true, but you just like blank space. Or it's just still.
It's just a big black screen, white text, censored with beep, and then they go on to the next nominee.
Which would be very fitting for The Boys, for sure. But you would get like Anthony Starr getting an Emmy nomination, because if anyone deserves an Emmy nomination, it is that guy. Like, and there's my fourth thing that I'm mad about, because he is such a good villain. He is amazing as Homelander. Like, what does that guy have to do to get some love? Because he's phenomenal. Like, I could not imagine anyone else acting in, you know, doing that particular role. He mixes such, you know, he's crazy and he's scary and he's insane, and it's just a crazy character to bring to life, and the fact that he gets nothing just upsets me. So stuff like that, and you know, and you know, Patrick Stewart getting some love for Picard from the HCA, like, that's awesome. So it is stuff like that. It is interesting. Like, I like this list better than the Emmys, and mainly because Jensen Ackles got a nomination for The Boys. But you wouldn't see half of these people getting any recognition from the Emmys.
Yeah.
Because they're not on the Emmys' favorite shows. They're just
not. Is the Hollywood Critics Association more of a peer organization than the Emmys? I'm not sure what the difference is there.
I think it might be. Yeah, that's a good question. But it might be more of a peer thing. But that's why I like it more.
Do you have any other snubs or surprises?
I don't. As I said, the Emmys didn't surprise me. The Emmys did what the Emmys do. You know, they pick their favorites and they beat that horse until it's no longer a show. Other than what I've already said about my favorite actor right now. Just not getting any love. And it upsets me. But it also upsets me. I'm going to retro that anger to when he was the Riddler on Gotham. because 100% should have gotten some love. 100% should have gotten some love there too. But I really doubt Gotham was nominated for anything. But I wouldn't know because I just started watching that show.
Well, and I think that would have been his biggest role. Most notorious role at this time.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It doesn't look like Gotham got nominated for anything.
Blows my mind. There are so many strong actors on that show, but I digress. I'm just going to get angry. And
I'm wrong.
Oh, okay.
Outstanding sound editing.
Jeez.
Outstanding special visual effects. Okay. Outstanding stunt coordination, sound editing, and visual effects. Those are its past Emmy nominations. Cinematography for a single camera scene.
Oh.
Stunts, sound, costumes.
Nice.
Nothing for the cast. Teen Choice Awards now. They've got some past nominees in there. So maybe that's it. Maybe the Emmys, they were just like, it's a TV show about villains and superheroes, and that's for kids.
Yeah.
Do you still watch the Emmys, I guess, is the last question I have for you about it. Like, do you, when it airs, do you watch the broadcast of the Emmys?
I don't. Okay. I know that requires me to have access to cable.
Oh yeah, that's true. But do they not do like a YouTube live presentation?
I'm sure they do, but I just follow it on Twitter, especially if I really care about who might win. Like, I care about whether or not Pedro Pascal wins, so I'm only going to concentrate on the categories that I actually do care, like, that I'm invested in. Like, I do want to watch. I would like to know if Phil Dunster wins for Ted Lasso because he's amazing, and I'm so glad he finally got nominated. But I don't watch it anymore. I haven't watched an award show in like forever and a day. I just follow along on Twitter to see who won, and then I get angry, and then I get happy, and then I get angry. So I go through a roller coaster of emotions. Yeah, I don't watch them anymore. It's the same thing for video game award shows. I don't watch those anymore either.
Oh, I hate watch video game award shows. I don't know. There's something about them that they strike a little too close to this like traditional pageantry,
right?
You know, that we see applied to the Oscars and Emmys, and I think that's where, like you said, in that instance, where a lot of like indie or smaller like single A, double A studio games get lost,
right,
in that pageantry, just like in the Emmys, you know, and so like I hate watch video game awards.
Right.
I don't watch these awards anymore, but they are interesting to me, like we said, like that there's stuff, you know, for House of the Dragon, I'm probably gonna catch a lot of flack for this, but House of the Dragon being nominated as a best drama series alongside of something like The Last of Us or The Crown or Andor, it sounds like that I'm just like, really? Like that's what you're putting forward, you know?
Yeah, like, of course they are. That, yeah.
That show was definitely mid, you know. But so I like to hate review the nominees.
For sure. Oh, I mean, yeah. That's my other thing. The fact that Matt Smith didn't get any love. I mean,
yeah, but he did on the Hollywood.
He did, right? He got
that you mentioned.
See how great that list is. Matt Smith.
It is a much more comprehensive list. Yes,
Matt Smith also deserves 1,000 awards. He is just a solid actor in like everything that I've seen him in, and not just because his doctor is my favorite doctor, but he's just good. He's just
a good actor. I like him in everything. Yeah.
But also because the 11th Doctor is my favorite Doctor, and I'm completely biased. So, but
you
know, like,
he's
I'm right.
One of those, he's one of those actors, and I know this is totally derailing us, but he's one of those actors that I feel like always has the same look. He always has the same face. He's almost a character actor in a way without having a specific character other than being Matt Smith.
That's right. It's true.
You know what I mean? It's true. Like, when he showed up in House of the Dragon, I was taken out for a second because I was like, what? Matt Smith is in this? You know, like, and it's not like you watch, you know, something else and you're like, oh wow, Pedro Pascal like really embodied that role,
right.
And like made it his own. Matt Smith, I feel like the roles like wear him, I guess, mm-hmm. how people talk about clothes instead of him wearing the role in a way.
Yeah.
So while I think he's, while I enjoy everything that he's done, there is still a little bit of that for me that it's like, I wish you could just like be a little less Matt Smith. And there's, I think it's just in the smarminess, right? Mm-hmm. Anytime he has a moment where he's got to be like smarmy and like extra confident in a scene, that it's just like, oh no, you just stopped being that character and now you're Matt Smith.
Right. You know? That's true. That is Matt Smith. You hire him because you want. Because you want Matt Smith. And it's perfect. Also, you were right about the Teen Choice Awards. They know what's up.
Did you just look it up about Gotham?
I did. Yeah. Because I wanted to see if they gave my boys some love, and they did in 2017.
Teen Choice Awards is the award show to watch, folks. Like, next year, we're not doing the Emmys. We're doing the Teen Choice Awards.
You know, I think, when's the next Teen Choice Awards? Because we're definitely going to do it.
Oh, no. Ren, Gotham is not going to be on it. Gotham is over.
It's fine. The past. It is the past, but we can look back at old tapes. They nominated him for Choice TV Villain. They're mm-hmm. amazing. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Teen Choice Awards.
I mean,
and they also gave
teens are smart. Yeah.
I mean, they gave it to Cameron Monaghan, who is amazing, and not because he's Cal Kestis, which he's also amazing in Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order. He's such a good actor too. So they know what's up. So next time we're looking at the Teen Choice Awards, mark it on your calendar, everybody. Next podcast will be about the Teen Choice Awards nomination, because they know what's up. They are the pulse of America. They
always are.
Yep. They know what they're doing.
Speaking of next episode, Nerdy Birds is going to take another short hiatus. Mm-hmm. Ren and I've got some stuff coming up, yeah. Offline, and so we were talking about this before the show that we're probably we won't be back until September at the earliest. So the goal is next September. So thanks guys for hanging in there with us. In the meantime, you can keep up with us on Twitter at the number two Nerdy Birds. You know, let us know, because also by September the Emmys will have selected their winners. That's so right. this is your chance to like get in all of your Emmy feedback, your wishes, your surprises, mm-hmm. And then let us know what you wanted to see happen. And yeah, and Ren, where can we find you in the meantime? If we can find you in
if
the
you
meantime,
can find me. I'm still on Twitter. You can find me at Good Game Ren on Twitter. That's mainly where I hang out. I also hang out on Tumblr, but I'm not giving you, I'm not going to give you that name. If you find me, you will not be surprised by what you find. Just saying. Yeah, so I'm mainly doing that because right now I am still working on Diablo 4 guides for IGN at this point. Eventually I'll be done with that. So I've just been devoting a lot of my time. And then, yeah, as you said, August is just slam. School starts. I start my new teaching job. I'll be doing that. And I'm excited for it, but I got to get my head in the new school year and all of that good stuff. But yeah, that's where you can find me on Twitter. You can talk to me about why Corey Michael Smith is one of your favorite actors and how much you loved him on Gotham and
Transatlantic.
And Transatlantic. And whether or not you watched the recent short film that he's in called Incomplete that just came out as well. I'm just saying, we could talk about it. And Corey Michael Smith, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm a fan. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Hey, are you looking forward to Diablo season 4, by the way? I mean, season 1. We're in season 4 of the podcast. Are you looking forward to season 1 of Diablo 4? There we go.
I am. I don't know what to expect. But I've just been so focused on getting side quests and strongholds done. That I was like, what? Season 1 is coming? Oh, man. And that's coming in like 6 days. So that's cool. I'm excited.
Are you going to play a different class? What class have you chosen?
I don't know. Like right now I'm bouncing through 3. Like when I have when I have a moment to spare, I'll bounce on my sorcerer or my necromancer. Maybe I'll just do a druid and see what's up. Yeah, I'll roll a druid.
Good luck. Have fun.
Good luck. Have fun, everybody.
They're strong. Yeah. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/jadeprincess. Also, small pause there probably for next month for August. And on Twitter at O-N-E Jade Princess, one Jade Princess. Yeah, we can talk about Diablo. We can talk about the Emmys. We can talk about anything. Until then, I want to know what people are watching because I don't know that many people that watch Succession. I really want somebody to let us know. Like, come by the Discord or, you know, let us know on Twitter. I just want to know, like, what real ass people are watching.
Yeah, let us know what we're missing with Succession and the White Lotus, because and the bear. Like, what are we missing with that? Give me a reason to pull myself away from a possible third Gotham rewatch, please. can you do it? Can you convince me to watch something else other than Gotham? Do your best.
You've been challenged, everybody.
Do your best, because I'm thinking about it. I got like 6 episodes left of season 5. And I already want to go back to season 1. So help me out.
And until next time, everybody. As Ren said it best, do your best. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.